Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, I'm Marek Larwood. It's another hot day in London town.
How do you take to the heat?
I take well to the heat up to 24 degrees Celsius.
Right.
Then if I, above that, as soon as I move, I start to sweat.
Yeah. I used to be a lot better at heat than I am now. I lived near the equator for a bit of my life in Peru, and it was often 34 degrees there.
Hang on a minute, I never heard this story before.
Yeah. But I would just wander around in jeans and, you know, shirts and things. But I think maybe my secret was I was eating four meals a day.
Are you sure this wasn't a dream?
Of beef and rice. No, that happened.
And what were you doing in Peru?
I was looking after orphan children in the slum area of town, teaching them. You know,
so that sounds like
mostly a... actually running around in the midday sun with a child on each leg and one on each arm. You just go
kidnapper.
Yeah, sort of kidnapper. throwing them in bags, putting them in the back of trucks, receiving $20.
If you're going to kidnap in bulk.
That's right, always, because you know you save on so many things. You're going to buy a van anyway. You're going to buy a bag. You may as well buy a slightly bigger bag.
One kid screaming in a van looks like a kidnapping.
Yeah,
six or seven kids.
School trip.
Exactly. So, kidnappers.
Kidnappers. Take note. Right, we haven't been to the cinema this week. We've watched a film. Now,
we should explain what's going to happen over the summer period.
Yes, over the summer, Marek and I will be disappearing up to the Edinburgh Festival, as we do every year. So we will be releasing a series of shorter podcasts over August. So don't worry, you've not lost it all. We just haven't given you it. But that's going to start happening next week.
Yeah, I'm filming this in Practical Jokers for BBC Three, which you can watch online. And David's writing a play. Two things you can enjoy. But also, please keep your one-minute movie reviews coming in. Thank you very much to Francesca Scalici for the first one. So if you've been to see anything, send us an MP4 or an audio clip to dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Oh my word.
Dog fight.
Oh my word.
Quiet.
Well, that was an amazing dog fight.
Wow, Buddy won. He's here.
That was more exciting than the film we watched this week.
Well, yes, we should probably explain what the film is and then why we decided to watch it, really. We watched the film The Last Airbender, M. Night Shyamalan's lamentable...
I didn't know it was by him.
Oh, did you not?
So we've done like two films of his, because he did After Earth as well. Very back to back. Yes, buddy. I'd be angry if I watched another M. Night Shyamalan film.
Basically, I was interested in seeing this film because it was so attacked by the critics and viewers that many people say it's the worst film of all time. So I sort of wanted to see what they were talking about, really. Because it's such a joke of a movie in people's minds.
The plot.
Okay, The Last Airbender is a fantasy epic thing set in a world where there are four races of people. There are the fire, the earth, the water, and the air nomads. And amongst these tribes,
one thing in common.
Hart.
No, they're all benders.
That's right. No, some of them are benders. The lucky ones are benders.
Yeah.
Within each tribe, there are benders. And it's about 11% of the population. And benders have the ability to control the element of their tribe. So the firebenders can control and manipulate fire, and they've used that to forge great machines that they've now taken over the world with. They're sort of the evil empire. And then the waterbenders can manipulate water, and they mostly seem to have used that to go fishing.
Build an ice castle.
Yeah, the earthbenders can manipulate the soil, and they've mostly used that to become enslaved.
And be rubbish, and be ignored.
Ignored.
There's nothing funny about chucking mud.
No, and then the air nomads have been wiped out until one of the waterbenders finds an airbender in the ice.
What is he doing there?
Well, he, it turns out, is the Avatar, who is basically the Messiah, who is the only person on the planet with the ability to bend all four things, and therefore he brings peace.
Superbender.
The Superbender. He's Captain Planet.
Yeah.
This is just Captain Planet, basically. Pretty stock fantasy fodder, you know, big fantasy world, clearly want a franchise out of it. I honestly don't know why people say it's the worst film of all time. It's just another one of these films.
Yeah.
It's no worse than the Narnia films.
Yeah.
You know, they're worse, I'd say, actually. It's no worse than the Mummy sequels.
I think it is worse than the Narnia films.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is awful. It's just so many things that are wrong with it.
Oh, it's spectacularly bad, yes. But so a lot of these films are. It stars quite... This is interesting. It has a hugely ethnically diverse cast in terms of, you know, there are plenty of Indian actors and
a lot of the East Asian actors are mainly Indian, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But it wasn't celebrated for that. Instead, he was actually highly criticised for that, and it's what a lot of the critics actually zeroed in on, because this is based upon a kids show for Nickelodeon, who also made this film, called Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Have you seen any of that?
No.
Because that's also on Netflix, and after I watched I watched The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
It comes up suggestions for other films.
Okay.
So let's watch 5 minutes of the start of the...
Because that is hugely popular. Is it any good?
It's incredible. This film, for me, a lot of M. Night Shyamalan films, you watch them all back to back, or watch them recently, they've got this sort of faux sincerity, preachy sincerity, which is a running theme of all his films. And it just makes me think, M. Night Shyamalan, you preachy, self-obsessed dickhead. And you watch the cartoon, it's humorous. It's fun. It's got that Japanese sense of...
It's anime style, isn't it?
But it's also, the characters are quite stupid, and there are no jokes in The Last Airbender. It takes itself so seriously.
So serious.
So you watch the kids thing, and it's just, oh, right, there's joy in this.
Yeah.
It's quite a fun, lively, happy thing. This almost feels like it's some sort of really... boring section of the Bible. When I watched this, I thought, alright, was this made by an alien? Was this made by someone who's watched the earth from afar and doesn't understand the concept of social behaviour? Or how... I tried to think what an M. Night Shyamalan conversation is. He doesn't seem to be able to write any dialogue that's remotely realistic.
But these sort of borderline psychopaths seem to do quite well in Hollywood. I mean, George Lucas is one of those as well, who just doesn't get human emotions. And he's even in interviews, when he's been asked about his wedding or whatever, he's described it, he's sort of struggled to describe it. And then he's paused and gone, have you seen that movie when... And then just describes a scene in a movie, and he goes, it was like that.
So we are saying, definitively... M. Night Shyamalan is a psychopath.
I think he probably is. I think a lot of people... The thing about psychopaths is they're not all violent psychopaths, you know? There's a hell of a lot of psychopaths.
Isn't that a sociopath?
There's a subtle difference, but psychopathy isn't violent. It's just having no emotions towards your fellow man and deeply self-absorbed and... It's a very specific kind of sociopathy, I think.
A lot of comedians are psychopaths, right?
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah. Capitalism rewards them as well, which is quite interesting. Anyway, back to the ethnicity thing of the cartoon Avatar The Last Airbender was celebrated for the fact that they're all non-Caucasian, basically, but it doesn't matter. Nobody ever brings it up. They just, each of the tribes is from a different ethnicity. And then in the film, what he's done is he's embraced that almost totally, but there's a tribe of Inuit kind of looking people who all hang out in the ice and ice fish. And yeah. They are all Inuit actors, but then the two main characters who come from that tribe are white Caucasian California people who seem to live with these people for no reason at all. And it's that everyone turned on him for, because he's added that. He's taken away the two main parts and given them to white people.
I don't think that's... I think there's so many... I wrote a list down of 10 things that are wrong with this film.
Okay.
But, I mean, before... I can list them now if you want. Okay, here we go. Here's my top 10 things wrong with Last Airbender. 1, the title.
Yep.
2, every line in the whole film is exposition.
Yes.
3, actors overtly sincere and also rubbish. 4, for me, says you could think it couldn't get any more annoying, and then you realise it was made by M. Night Shyamalan, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
5, people stop acting in action sequences when they're not doing anything. You notice that? There's some fight scenes, and they're not even, people just stop acting scared and just stand there and go, "Oh right." I think they're aware there's some special effects going on.
I think it would be quite off-putting if a small child was dancing in front of you, because there's a lot of that when the Avatar, who's a small boy, I think he was actually rather good,
but the problem is it's when they're summoning, when they're bending stuff, it's like watching someone, you ever seen someone do modern dance?
Yes. Basically, benders love to dance.
It's just people doing crap modern dancing and special effects going on around.
Yeah, and then when they do jazz hands, fire comes out.
Yeah. I can count on this list. 6, Dev Patel is the worst choice for a villain.
Yes, because he was utterly likeable as the everyman in Slumdog Millionaire, and then it's a really odd choice.
He's not remotely villainous.
No. But his character is supposed to be sort of, he's got a good heart, I guess.
I just feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
7, it doesn't even end properly.
No, they're holding out for a trilogy.
Yeah, they set up a sequel, and arrogance of it.
Yes, it's not even the film ends and then we have an extra scene that goes sequel anyone. They actually, the first thing that happens is it says book one, water. So they really wanted a trilogy.
See, Back to Future sets up a sequel, and that was good. But this is probably even more overt than that.
Yes,
more than them saying, oh. Continued.
Yes. Nobody dies or anything.
8, I feel sorry for the costume and set designers because they were really good.
You thought they were good?
Yeah, I thought some of the costumes were right in the set. The boats were good.
The airbenders were just dressed as Buddhist monks.
Yeah.
They just had those costumes. They just mugged some monks and took their outfits. I like the arrow thing, but the... they were just Buddhist monks. They're even the same colours.
Yeah,
I mean it's all steeped in Eastern mysticism a lot. I thought actually that was where it had its potential, because that was exactly like the original Star Wars films, where there was a lot of sort of, it had the same feel of the Jedi and all of the kind of sweeping epic narrative of it as well, but it just didn't have the charm of those films.
The story just skips, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you know, the whole build up to start when in the set, you get the whole Luke story. You really feel he's lived there for years. Yeah. You get the whole drama there. It builds into it slowly. This just jumps up. It's like someone saying, oh, by the way, do you realise that all the time there's a secret scroll that just changes this plot completely?
Yeah. What I thought was that there's no jeopardy. There was no understanding that your characters need to be genuinely in danger for any of this action to mean anything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just dancing. And they have... the Avatar escape the villains and humiliate them in the first time you see him.
Yeah.
And he escapes them easily. And the constant thing as well, I noticed that they seem to be constantly surprised he can manipulate the air. Mm. Even though they've kidnapped him because he can manipulate the air. They just go, he has no way of escaping here. Oh, he's got to use the air again.
But if you capture, for example, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
You don't go, do you know what? I'm just going to sellotape his wrists to this wolf.
Just go, oh, he'll be fine. We've kidnapped him now.
Yeah, I'll leave him.
I'm going to just fall asleep against his teeth for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I'll leave him in the... I'll just lock the kitchen door and leave him in there all those nights. I'll leave the window ajar, but he won't... if I know Hannibal, he won't escape out of there.
I think, rather than this film being buried forever and no one should see it, I don't think it's bad enough to be funny bad either, particularly. I think students of film should study this film for where Hollywood cinema has gone and where all of it is heading.
Well, that's what... I read an article on it, which is quite interesting, because I do think watching the amount of new releases I've watched this year, which I never... I normally go... I watch a lot of videos and things that have been recommended to me,
yeah,
and not go and see things I wouldn't normally watch at the cinema, which we have done sort of up to this point this yes. year. And last year, I think it was the top 25 grossing blockbusters, not all... Universal or PG or under 12, so everyone can go and see them. So every single film that gets made that makes big money are basically family films.
Yeah.
So it's screwing the audience over. You know, that's all they're after, the big Hollywood films. Mm. All the violence is gone. It's got to be...
But it doesn't always work. I mean, Lone Ranger, for instance,
yeah,
which is a huge release. It costs an inordinate amount of money. It's a Bruckheimer Disney production, just like Pirates of the Caribbean was, and it's got Johnny Depp in the comedy sidekick role, just like Pirates of the Caribbean did, and it's been a colossal bomb.
Mm.
Like, they have lost millions, tens of millions.
But is it true they calculate it? There's five big people. They actually work out how much money each person is worth to the film. I've heard this.
Oh, really?
There's like five big names, like Tom Cruise,
yeah,
so and so, and they've equated how much that name equates to in dollars for the film. And let's go, right, we need to get him.
This is the thing. This is how you get anomalies like Orlando Bloom appearing.
Mm.
Because they're following the numbers, they're not following actually what happened, which was there's this part for a beautiful English actor. He doesn't have that many lines, but he needs to be physically fit and very pretty. So Orlando Bloom, while he's still at drama school, auditions for this part, first job in the professional world, gets it. Okay, he's now signed up for three films that will turn out to be, and everyone's very excited because of the subject matter, it's Lord of the Rings. It's already going to have a huge hype about it because the books are so popular. So he's already in three films that could be the highest selling films of all time and turn out to be. So while he's signed up for doing that for 4 years or however long it took to make all three films, he gets cast in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm.
Because he's already in something massive, so they go, well, he's going to be a massive star. Now, if you look, once Pirates of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings is out of the way, you look at his spreadsheet and you go, this guy makes millions.
Mm.
If you put him in your film, you'll make millions. And it's just not true. And it's the same for all of these things. They look at the sequels. The sequels is what they covered because the sequels make money. They don't seem to realise that people pay before they see a film. So it's the first film that people liked and then they all flock to see the sequel. It's not it's not the spectacle and the epic size of the sequel that we enjoy. It's the character, fun story and well-structured thing of the first one that we enjoy.
I can't tell if... I think I'm just getting cynical, but I'm sure films are getting worse. Listeners, do you think that films are getting worse? If you do, you can contact us.
Okay.
I always like to put a segue into that.
Absolutely.
Bit. I'm doing it midway through the talking about the last
episode. That's quite all right. Yeah, if you want to contact us, email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or go on our Facebook page, /filmfandango, or tweet us @filmfandango. Plus, we should probably mention at this point, we have a relatively new website, filmfandango.co.uk, where you can get all this information from. And also, you might like to donate towards the running costs of this podcast to keep it free. You can do that there.
And thank you very much to the people who have donated. We really appreciate it. It's very, very generous of you.
Yes, thank you very, very much. It's more than your duty. You're all heroes.
I've got two more points in my top 10 points of why it's rubbish.
Go on then.
It's The Last Airbender. Number 9, there is not one likeable character in it.
Yes, you're right, yeah.
Number 10, doesn't actually make any sense.
Oh, I don't know about that. But I followed it.
They introduced... It's pointless. And like I said, this made his point already. It's like playing a game with an older brother, and halfway through the game, your brother suddenly changes the rules completely.
Yeah.
And then you realise there's no point playing the game because all the fun's gone because suddenly he's changed the rules.
You didn't really get a sense of how oppressed everybody was by the Fire Tribe or what was going on there. It was all very... Yeah. It was all like they'd watched a lot of this kind of film and then gotten drunk and tried to write down the lines they could remember from them.
I would like to see that as a film.
You'd have to get drunk before you watch the films, I think, then sober up and try and remember the lines.
People do that. There's a thing about drunk history.
Incredible. Drunk history are absolutely amazing.
It's when if you go on... What's it on?
Google it. I can't
look
remember.
At drunk history. It's people like Will Ferrell.
I think it's on Funny or Die.
Yes, they get people drunk, get them to retell a story from history, and they get comedy actors to actually say the lines and to mime the lines. Look up drunken histories or drunk histories. Yeah. It's very funny.
It's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, there's something really wrong with storytelling in these films.
Can I give you a couple of lines I wrote down, which I thought were terrible?
Go on then.
This is a line, an actual line from a film. Fire Nations plan to suppress all the other benders. And even worse, it's another line, I thought the worst line of the film. Earthbenders, why are you acting this way? You are powerful and amazing people. If you take that line out by itself, it's almost as if someone's walked into a gay disco and two guys are acting inappropriately in the corner.
Earthbenders? Why are you acting this way? The bender thing is unfortunate, isn't it?
But everyone knows that. But someone should have gone, do you know what, Mr. Charlemagne? Bender is a sort of like a funny but quite derogatory term for gay people.
Yeah. Americans aren't entirely unaware of it because Bender in Futurama is called that because it's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they are subtly aware of its other meaning.
You would never get rid of that. You never use that title. It's ridiculous.
It is from the kids show though, so I guess if this is for kids, they don't want to change their name.
Is it an allegory though? I thought for a second, I thought it was ridiculous, and at one point I thought, well, maybe it is an allegory for homosexuality, that how these people are really extraordinarily skilled and talented and they find it difficult. And maybe it is, and really, if you look at it that way, it's a completely
different
film.
Then who is the avatar?
The avatar is Freddie Mercury,
the gay messiah.
Yep.
Who disappeared into the ice many years ago.
Exactly. We thought that Freddie Mercury died. In fact, that's what's happened. He's gone away. And he's going to come back with a whole new Queen album.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want one without him. I'll put that out there.
Yep.
Brian May, if you're listening, I'm not interested.
Just stick to doing car adverts.
What?
He does car... He did that Ford song, didn't he?
Did he?
Everything We Do Is Driven By You.
Oh, was that him?
It was Brian May.
Sounds like a Brian Adams song.
He should get together with Brian Adams. Not in a
Last Airbender way. Or if he wants to. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Yes, I'm sorry it wasn't... It's not more fun, The Last Airbender. I was hoping, you know, it would be so laughable that it'd be worth talking about.
The funny one, Troll 2 is the funny, laughable film you must watch.
I've not seen it. Is that the one with Harry Potter?
No. What do you mean?
There's the troll. One of the troll films is where... Has it got the boy from Neverending Story in it?
No, I don't think so. And okay. There's a documentary that goes along with... So watch Troll 2 and you have one of the stars that made a brilliant documentary about it.
Right.
It's hilariously bad. So if you want to watch a bad film that's funny, there's that one. And there's also the famous one, the American guy, The Fall. Is it called The Wind? I'm called The Fall. The name escapes me. You'll know what it is. It's a famous one. I'll think of it. Unfortunately, at this moment when I'm recording, I can't think of it.
It's Troll 1, I think. It's got, we've talked about it before, but it's got the guy who plays Atreyu from Neverending Story, and he plays a boy who wants to be a wizard called Harry Potter.
Troll 2 is amazing because Troll 2 was filmed by a Spanish crew, the director's Spanish or Italian, I can't remember, and they couldn't essentially speak English. They didn't know none of the crew knew what they were filming. The bloke couldn't speak English properly. Watch the documentary on it. It is the funniest. If you know, also, if you know any funny films, horror films, please tell us where you can watch them.
Yeah, we can share them with you.
What would you give The Last Airbender?
Oh, God. Three Davids.
Yeah, I think I'd give it three Marics as well.
Yeah, it's not the worst film in the world. It's just not worth watching.
It's not hateful.
No. No. I did quite like the main guy. The Avatar guy.
Ballbender,
yeah. He was quite good.
Shall we read our letters this week then?
Yes, some of you have written in. Thank you very much for doing so. What have we got?
Only a letter from our regular contributor, Christopher Webb.
Christopher Webb.
Do you want to... Oh, you've got Christopher Webb.
I've got Christopher Webb. Dear David and Marek, I've been listening to the podcast for so long now that... You're starting to influence my enjoyment of films. Tonight I watched the horror movie Mama. When my wife asked if I liked it, my reply was, no. It was all quite loud and there was way too much crick-crack. Naturally, she looked at me like some kind of imbecile, so thanks for that. Very happy the podcast is still going strong. It's payday on Wednesday, so I'll donate. If you can find it, try watching The Big Bus, a 70s disaster spoof that predates Airplane by a few years. Lots of love, Chris. Well, thank you for donating, Chris. And The Big Bus. I have to admit, I've never heard of that.
Never heard of it. Not going to watch it.
No.
I might do. I've got a letter here from Ian Smith, so I'll just read out a bit of the letter. Yesterday we went to go and see Pacific Rim in 3D. I thought it would be terrible, a cross between Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Transformers. Actually, it wasn't half bad. In the hands of anyone but Guillermo del Toro, it would have been a terrible movie where CGI was used in the place of old-fashioned things such as plot as and dialogue. Bracket. I'm looking at you, Michael Bay, in Transformers. Close bracket. There are a number of great comic touches. I won't do a spoiler there, blah, blah, blah. It's worth a watch, especially at the cinema. I thought the 3D was good. It wasn't too deep that it gave you a headache and the camera didn't fast cut during action sequences. The constant reference to battle machines and Jaegers did force us to consume a number of Jaeger bombs afterwards, so my lack of sleep and thick head are being blamed squarely on this movie. Overall, I'll give it a 7. Good. Worth watching on a big screen. And will probably be purchased when it's on sale for £5 at the local supermarket. Regards, Ian. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. Well, a glowing review for Pacific Rim. But if just someone has to say Jaegers a couple of times for you to buy some Jaeger bombs, you're highly susceptible.
That's an alcohol problem.
Yeah, you're looking for an excuse there for Jaeger bombs.
Shall we, before we wrap up, shall we talk about what films we're going to... So we're going to basically record some short podcasts for the next few weeks.
And then trickle them out for you one by one.
And if you want to watch the films we're going to watch, because we're going to pre-record some of these, any emails about these films will be very gratefully received.
Yes, but you'd have to get them to us by the end of July.
So the films we're going to look at, which you... and. Two of these are on YouTube for free, so you can watch them on YouTube. So we're going to look at the 1975 version, the James Caan version of Rollerball, not the rubbish remake. So if you put Rollerball and put full-length film without the G, someone spelt wrong, into YouTube, you can watch that for free. And you can also watch The Day After, which is a 1983 disaster movie about nuclear post-nuclear war.
Influenced by Threads, I think, which we've talked about a lot. So that'll be interesting.
It's got Steve Guttenberg in it, which would be fascinating.
I would love him to be in the apocalypse.
And also we're going to watch...
Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie. To American, Canadian, what are those guys? Comedians who made a film. They're very funny. They also do stuff with John C. Reilly a bit, who's excellent. So yes, track those down if you'd like to join us watching these. In the meantime, why not get in touch? DearFilmFandango@gmail.com, or you can Facebook us /FilmFandango, or tweet us @FilmFandango.
Happy airbending!
Happy airbending!
No!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.